D. Expand your mind and let the music be your driving force.
Enter a world of color and light.
And keep on thinking free.
The most eclectic mix of music in the city that never sleeps. At 99.5 FM WBAI New York. And streaming live at www.wbai.org.
Chanel minks in the winter. Who fucking with us? We coming to give them the shivers. Water we flow, spilling like rivers. Flooding the street, hoping to swimmers move with gorillas. King Kong's Godzilla's when we roll up. Seat filling up. Get up when I show up.
Please don't throw up. Hold your liquor, girl up. If you're robbing it, Drigo, show you how to blow up. Thank your lucky stars, it's the Babs all tucky shit in. My new bite like a rantin'. To my chagrin, you never win. Model thin, walking, cracking your shin. She gives in every time that I spin. Square up, bow down to the kings of the hall. We way gone, talk shit while we ball. So what's cracking with y'all?
Native New Yorker, the slick talker, keeps it in order. Call a reporter, stepping like British walkers. Legendary swag fluency, the influence, see how we do it. Get them into it steadily, got them stupid, so undisputed. Act full, back tool, till they pop off. Police crowd up the street, blocking them off, locking them off. Got these n***s wilding while I signal my soldiers. Bossing it up, maintaining composure, stand on the sofa. 30 bottles, 20 waitresses, bring them over. See how we light up, call a promoter. Tell that n***a, bring the bag, better hurry up with it and count the money up proper. Cause you can get it, you can get it, you can get it, you can get it.
Yeah. Feel good, don't it? I feel good, don't it? Hey, I wanna let y'all know. Hey, hey, I wanna let y'all know. This Jeezy, and you listening to Q-Tip.
Set them up, stiletto up, saddle up and let's go. Good times, only difference making it dope. Chatter is up, peep the way we batter it up. On top of the mountain, folding the ladder up. You're dead and done, rip up your paper cause your status is none. Transfix on the sphinx of the page. Whether chopper or gauge, you're just a single cause you wouldn't engage. Turned up with the script on the cup, you keep the goblins with us.
See how we push, sometime my mind forget cough. Beat him in the head, boop-a-dee-dee-bop, zippity-boof. Beat him in the head again, stop killing me, wolf. Wop, beat him till he drop, piggity-poof. Oxy and me pull, he don't want no problem with nerves. Okay, let's get to drinking, poison our livers. Damn it, we sinners. When me and Abstract together, see we deliver. She got me touching it, fucking all on my fingers. Damn it, we winners. Pillars of this rap shit, homie, they know. Kill everything till it's time for me to go. That's when I vomit with a blowin' and I black and get a little bit dummy. The microphone is bleeding, you should take it from me.
Incredibly, we do it in the resumes. The music, I tune it, YouTube it. It can never ever be refuted. It's naughty for new, to naughty for Nina's boots and ballerinas, ballers and in-betweeners. Blatant non-believers and overachievers kicking it in. Paley Adidas, drink gallons of liters. All of you must reconcile the leaders. She's begging to eat us. Her man's attitude defeaters, but never a scandal. Because me and Bus, we prone to handle with gentlemen.
Not to mention we veterans, taking me some medicine. For our black, you should get off my premises. Better fly, you pelican, idiot. But then again, you need a suit for your funeral measurements. See, we doing it effortless. It's never getting no better than this. Giving you shit that you miss, a better preference. Watch me turn them to skeletons. See how I come and bring out the betterness. Thomas with it, I rep the foreverness. Flying United Emirates, size private plane, that kind of etiquette. Purchasing diamonds, handle them delicate. Now you need you a better ref. You can peep us regular, and see, we all in this bit, like we ain't ever laughed, never laughed, never laughed, never laughed.
Greetings, greetings, greetings. Welcome to another episode of Black Seinfeld, the show about nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
It's the one and only Trinidadian Panamanian Poppy Rude Boy Top Gunna Sak Panyamada Giovanni Anglin. Greetings and salutations, people.
Yo, what's going on? It's Bash Nisha. reporting live from Queens, Gio from Brooklyn. What's going on, folks?
And we just want to thank you all so much for tuning in to this show on your turkey day, your family gathering day, your whatever have you day. It's a day where we reflect on genocide.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay. Yeah, it is.
We definitely got to reflect to know what happened in the past, so make sure it won't happen in the future. But we can't really reflect on it if we're not really told the true story, if we're just celebrating it as Thanksgiving and that's being the pretext of the holiday. But you know what it is.
Exactly.
If you're listening to us on the VI, you already know what it is. So we don't got to explain it to you once.
Exactly. We don't need to explain it to you every single year. Oh, this is the true meaning of Thanksgiving. You know already.
Yeah, but let the people find out, like, know where we at.
We are located at blackseinfeld.com. That is our website where you can get all of our latest and past episodes. Of course, we are also located on all of your favorite podcasting platforms, such as Spreaker, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, Apple Podcasts, Audible, Podomatic, Pandora, anything that you can think of, Apple Pod as well. I think I've said that already. But anywhere that podcasts are available, you can take a listen to Black Seinfeld. Also, if you'd like to follow us on all social medias, IB Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, that is Black Seinfeld NY. And if you'd like to leave us a comment or if you'd like to email us, please go to blackseinfeldny@gmail.com. Bastian, how are you doing tonight?
Doing well, doing well. Got that energy flowing. It's the holiday season.
Officially.
I'm really, really feeling it. I'm now finally listening or hearing that Christmas music when I'm walking through stores. I haven't been to a store in a while. But, you know, starting today's Thursday, starting tomorrow, Black Friday, then we're fully deep into dive to Christmas in 2022. So I'm feeling it now. I'm feeling the end of the fourth quarter is coming.
Right. Shoot, man. I'll tell you what. Once it hit November 1st, Mariah Carey miraculously sprung out of her hibernation, and people already started playing Christmas music as soon as Halloween was over. It was just like, Halloween is over. All right, we're done playing Thriller. Cue Mariah Carey in a lot of stores. And it irked me until the umpteenth degree because we just got into November. But now is a perfect time, okay? Let's just get through the turkey. There's a reason why we only eat this thing once a year, okay? Because it's trash. All right, let's just get through that. And then we can get all jolly and holly.
Yeah, you think so? You're not a fan of turkey? That's what you're telling the folks?
Bastian, there's a reason why we eat it once a year.
I think there's different ways or different styles of turkey in order to make it more enjoyable. I don't believe in the baking the full entire turkey. I don't believe in that concept, but I don't mind if you, you know, turn it into a dish where it's, you know, got this, like all sauces, you break everything up together into scraps and then you turn it into a dish like that. Then you can bake it separately. But if you're making the entire turkey dry.
Every year, firefighters always talk about the dangers of deep frying a turkey. You know how you see the big deep fryer and then someone dropping in the turkey and then the freaking fryer combusting to flames
because the oil's overspilling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I was always afraid of that, but I think due to today's technology, especially the deep fryer, I think it's much easier to make sure that never happens ever again. Or maybe we don't read. You know, we get the instructions, we look at it, said, all right, fill oil here. You might fill a little bit more. And maybe we don't know the actual weight of the turkey.
Right.
Water volume, you know, and we splash it. You're supposed to lightly, like slowly drop it. Then combust.
Here's an idea now, because air fryers are a huge craze. I know someone out there is going to try an air fried turkey.
I've air fried chicken. But if you were to air fry like the real one, mm-hmm. like you will need to have an oven that already has an air fry feature. But at that sense, it wouldn't make sense to do it because you might as well just put it in the oven.
So someone's going to try it, man.
It's not a bad thing. It will work. It will work. Like it will taste good. Actually, it'll taste nice and crispy. But it wouldn't make sense. It's not like a microwave. You can't microwave turkey. Then we're fighting.
Oh, man. You remember that episode of Flavor of Love where Hadi, she thought she could, like, heat up a raw chicken in the microwave by pressing the chicken button? Do you remember that?
Yeah. I'm a big fan. That's like season one stuff right there, right?
Yes, it is.
I, like, growing up, you start to realize, like, maybe those small things are the fake ones. But then when you talk to other people actually do that in real life. So you just don't know. Was it fake or was it legit? Like, people don't know how to cook and they don't know what to do with chicken. They don't know how to clean chicken.
That is true. There's so many videos of a supposed chef saying it is wrong to clean your chicken because you're going to spread salmonella all over your countertop, which is ridiculous, by the way. And, you know, this is why you shouldn't take advice to a lot of people who don't know what they're talking about, i.e. the melanin deficient.
The thing I heard about that conversation, I actually brought it up. I think I asked you this a while ago too, like how you clean your chicken. But it's like, it's all about where you're putting it. Because mm-hmm. if you put it in the kitchen, in the sink, you're going to clean the sink right afterwards when you're done because you're moving on to the next thing. But yeah, I'm not afraid of people deep frying improperly in an unsafe way, because we don't want that, you know, coming home, like your family coming over, realizing there's no food because the fire department's in there.
Room,
where are we going? TGI Friday?
Boston Market.
Nah, it's packed already.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure this should be halfway sold out by the time it hits 3 p.m.
But I'm telling you, Boston Market, that's the spot people go to for Thanksgiving, not TGI Fridays. Would TGI Friday even be open up on Thanksgiving?
I'm assuming most of these stores will be half open. You know, maybe they do that morning shift, then let everybody go at the end.
Right.
I think I worked at Thanksgiving.
I did too.
Once. Yeah, so it wasn't too bad. My family, we don't really celebrate Thanksgiving.
Right.
We eat. You know, it's like, what dish do you normally eat? You can have it any other time. So
that is true.
I don't really do much, but I know you chefing. Are you cooking anything up?
Oh, absolutely not, bruh. I'm going to let you know right now. I literally just came back from a Friendsgiving. I was over at your neck of the woods. I wasn't in your specific area of Queens, but I was in Queens. Mm-hmm. I was at this place called Mama Juana's Cafe. I don't know if you've heard of it before, but all the Latinos have heard of this spot before, right? They offer authentic Dominican cuisine. And I was excited to go because I've never heard of this spot, but I've had a lot of expectations about this place, and I just wanted a couple of things. I got what I wanted. However, the quality was utter trash.
Interesting. Well, I do. Okay, since you said other you said trash, my train of thought has changed. My initial first question was going to ask, did you get the goat?
Yes. Oh, no, I did not get the goat.
You didn't get the goat.
I did not get goat.
I tried to go to spots if they offer goat. Like, you know, it didn't make it spot.
And they did offer goat.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
Something about goat is different. All right, second thing.
Yes.
When you feel like it was trash in terms of quality, what was trash? Was it the spicing? Was it the cook? Was it the quality of the food? What was it that was missing?
The quality of the food and the quality of the damn hookah, okay? Because this is a Dominican spot, after all, people. I was expecting two things.
You were in Astoria, by the way?
Was I in Astoria? Is Mama Juana is not in Astoria. Hold on. I think it's in, like, Woodside or something. Let me do some Google.
Now, Woodside also has a lot of hookah lounges. That part's of Queens, too.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me do a little Google real quick.
But you said it was the quality of the hookah and the quality of the food.
The hookah, quality of the food. It was on 56th Street in Queens. Where the heck is that at?
Well, if you zoom, you could look at the map to see
what Sunnyside part Gardens. Woodside. Yeah, I was at Woodside.
Woodside, okay.
Yeah, I was at Woodside. And the
cool question for you. Isn't there like an imbalance problem with hookah and food? Like, isn't it like one or the other? There's no way a hookah lounge has ever had good food. It's always like finger foods and alcohol.
That is true. And I will say this, Bastion. The one thing they did get correct was the appetizers. The apps, all the apps were on point. The guac was on point. The birria tacos were on point. The fried chicken bites were on point. The empanadas were on point. Everything about the, essentially, yeah, finger food.
Finger foods.
Was fire.
That's all they could do, man.
Yeah. That was the best part. But the problem of the hookah was the hookah kept dying out every 15 minutes. It shouldn't die out that quickly, Bash.
I'm not too crazy about hookah personally.
I'm not either, but I expected it if I go to a Dominican spot. It's off of GP, general principle.
Yeah, it does bring a type of essence, you know, feng shui.
That's right.
Finger foods, alcohol, and hookah.
The alcohol was the next thing that irked my nerves.
Not enough. What, was it heavy enough?
No, here's the thing. It was the price. We ordered a pitcher of this guava margarita, right? We ordered three of those, right? We just get it coming back to back to back. And the server, right? Whenever our glasses were empty, you know, he was just being a server, just filling up our cups. And guess how much each of those pitchers cost, bruh?
38? 40 around 40?
No!
Less.
It was more!
Oh, really?
It was $76!
Wow, okay.
Yeah, you're damn right. Wow, okay. That was BS.
Did no one know prior?
Hell no, we didn't know, man. We just thought it would be something like a light 30 or something. But no, $76 per pitcher.
Damn, you were up.
And I was up. We had to re-up on the hookah like three times already because we had two flavors. So we had to re-up on the hookah. I'm not even a hookah smoker like that, people. This is the second time in life I've smoked hookah, okay? But I figured, you know, if I'm going to be entrenched within the environment, with the atmosphere, I want two things. Some good hookah and some good dembo music. I got some good dembo music, but nah, the hookah was not busting like that, okay? I felt robbed, okay? We felt lied to, okay? And the entrees wasn't even hitting, man. I had the shrimps. Shrimps weren't even that great. And the stuffed crab meat. It was not good, bro. It was just regular.
You gave a whole Yelp review on the radio. Bro.
I gave a full-fledged Yelp review because this is my second Friendsgiving that I went to this month, okay? And I was expecting some quality here, okay? But it was not busting like that.
Usually when I go to Friendsgiving, it's bring your own dish, but, you know, always confirm what dish you're bringing so you're not having to overlap.
Mm-hmm.
You don't normally do that. You don't have, like, a bring your own dish Friendsgiving.
It's funny.
It's like, yeah.
It's funny you say that, Bastion. I did that earlier on this month.
Okay.
November 6th. That was UF 268. I'll never forget it because we ushered in my birthday that very next morning. So, yes, we had that. We had the barbecue chicken and the rice and beans and all. We had that already. But, you know, we wanted to do something different with my other set of friends who wanted to go out after a long, hard, stressful work, however many months we've been working there. You know, we wanted to go out and just, you know, build as a team. Because when you go out as a team, you know, you build camaraderie. Okay, when you go through certain ish and you're about to die, okay, you build and you grow as a team, as a unit. That's how memories are formed. That's how bonds get stronger, by going out, exactly, and smoking some damn hookah.
Sorry you had to be disappointed.
Solid
but as long as you guys have fun, I think that's the most important part.
We did have fun, but solid 6 out of 10.
Solid 6, I hear that.
The 6 is solely for the environment, the atmosphere, and the appetizers, because they were really good.
Oh, sounds tight. So, in this essence of Thanksgiving, I think the only thing we both enjoy about Thanksgiving is, one, of course, the food. Not talking about the past, but also the concept of being thankful for something. Like, mm-hmm. What are you personally thankful? And no, this has been we're about to reach the third pandemic year. You know, it's things aren't getting any better. Or is that, if anything, everything has been pretty stable, right?
Yes.
But it's not like it's going to make any full changes. So what are you thankful for this year, in the year 2021?
Let's see.
I was going to say 2020 because it still feels like 2020.
Right. This 2021, I'm thankful for the November album releases. I'm definitely thankful for Silk Sonic. I'm thankful for Liddell. I'm thankful for Kendrick Lamar performing at the
This is day all too recent. I need a whole year worth of, I need something thankful for the year. That's way recent. It's like, I'm thankful for the month of November.
I mean, November was pretty eventful, man. Okay, I'm thankful for having a job that, you know, I can finally do some adulting with. I can have my insurance now, full benefits and all that jazz. I'm thankful for my health. I'm thankful for seeing another day, another year. I'm thankful for the Tyler, the Creator album. I'm thankful for Bastion, as always, for creating and always trying to make Black Seinfeld better. I'm thankful for the new logo that he made. Thankful for the sponsorships that we had. That's right, people, we had sponsorships. Ha ha. Okay. I'm thankful for the website. I'm thankful for the new logo. I'm thankful for just life. I'm thankful for our management for allowing us to remain on radio. I'm thankful for what else?
Yeah, I feel you. I'm in the same realm. Definitely thankful for the opportunities we had to a bit grow this year. Definitely thankful for just like the opportunities, but also like developing different styles, like being in a situation where we had to do a little, like push ourselves in order to reach new boundaries and stuff. And I do see ourselves pushing a little bit even more, especially with the up and coming changes
mm-hmm.
in the next couple of months. So that's just how life is.
That's right. I'm telling you.
Yeah. But I still think like the whole we're still in the whole pandemic era and it's, it's trifling.
Technically we are still in a pandemic, but also things are now open again in full force if you are vaccinated, of course. I've seen a lot of people not wear their masks anymore because I think they're just tired of it. I'm not going to lie. I'm one of the people that are tired of it now, except when I'm same on the here. Train.
Same here. I find the whole mask experience very awful and off-putting now.
Yeah, it definitely is. I think that 2022 is going to be the quote unquote end of this pandemic?
No, I think it's going to rebound again and it's going to keep rebounding over and over. We live in the age of misinformation and we live in the United States where
yeah.
we're the so-called concept of free. So free means free to do whatever you want, not free to your best interest. So I don't really think any positive outcome will happen in terms of how everybody's even dealing with the small issues, like here in the United States, we were dealing with like higher prices and gas and stuff. And right. depending on where you get your information, you're going to have a different perspective on like how it works.
Definitely.
So a lot true. Of interesting conversation points around there.
Yeah. What else am I thankful for? Hold on, let me think. I'm thankful for game stonks, you know, meme stocks this year. Thankful for that. I'm thankful for
the investing opportunities many people either flubbed or I definitely lost money in this, some stuff too.
True.
But yeah.
I'm
still down, so less taxes. It's cool.
Let's see what else. I'm thankful for weed being legal now in New York. That's a thing. I'm thankful for the little tryst that we had between Dr. Umar and Kevin Samuels. Thought that was great. I'm thankful for Juneteenth being a federal holiday. What else am I thankful for? I'm just like replaying a lot of stuff that's happened this year. I'm thankful for the Kanye interview with Drink Champs. I'm just thankful for Kanye this whole year. Okay, because it was just nuts. It was just nuts.
He came out with a lot of good songs this year.
That's right. And you know, he gave us, I think we have the official end to the beef of Ye and Drake, because now this is a nice conclusion to the story, because last week we talked about, you know, them mending fences and all that stuff. Now they're finally going to be doing a benefit concert to free Larry Hoover in LA December 9th. Bastion, what is your take on that?
I don't understand this Larry Hoover stuff.
Apparently Larry Hoover, he was the leader, allegedly, of the GDs? Yes.
No, I understand, but like how has this evolved into a thing?
Oh, I have no idea. I guess I assume Larry Hoover is an innocent man, maybe, because he was pinned with a lot of charges and stuff, hence why Kim Kardashian tried to get him out of jail and talk to the former president back then in X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, she hustled.
She did. She helped Kodak. I'm thankful for Kodak Black getting out of jail, goddammit, because he gave us some fire-ass music this year.
Interesting. Okay, we're definitely thankful for a lot of stuff, and we hope to be more thankful for next year. You know, more life, as Drake said many times before.
Absolutely. Bastion, what is your favorite Thanksgiving dish or side dish?
Side dish? For me personally, I am very interested in any type of macaroni pasta form with a side of barbecue type meat. You know, it could be a rib, it could be chicken or whatever, but that like combo by itself is really good, especially if there's a decent salad. You know, put some French dressing on that. You know, you get a little mix of everything. I always get rice, but I always try not to eat rice on Thanksgiving, because I eat rice 3 times a week. I'm okay to skip and just eat just like the side dishes in one day. But yeah, but I'm not a big eater too, so I think I told you that before.
Yeah, it's weird that you don't like to eat food, but yet you like quality food.
Yeah, it makes sense. I think that's a perfect balance. You don't want to be overstuffed with nonsense and grease, but you just want like a nice quality amount of goat. You know, sometimes I just want some nice fresh goat, you know, get some griots, some pork. You know, you tasted, you had it before.
Yes, I have.
Like, if there's quality griot. For the people listening at home, it's a Haitian dish. It's like pork, and it's like baked, and it's greasy, and you get to open it up, and it's dripping. It's crazy. This quality, and there's this straight up dry, terrible stuff. Just because it's the same dish doesn't mean I want to enjoy it. Like, oh, now I can't eat this griot. I got to eat it with rice. Just like save the griot. The rice saved the griot. That's backwards, man. It's backwards. So yeah, quality over everything. That's just the key.
That is true. That's a fair point.
Yeah, I blame my obsession with pizza when I was younger. Once I found out that pizza kind of sucks. There's a lot of places that just make bad pizza.
That is true.
A lot of places have bad pizza, and I'm like, dang. So shout out to Danny's Pizza out in Kew Gardens, still number one pizza in my book. Still, to this day. But yeah,
shout out to Deontay Wilder.
So I want, before we get into the main conversation today, I actually want to talk about Twitter Spaces. Now, if you normally are active on social media, I think the biggest thing is Twitter really deep diving into the Spaces space.
Yeah,
no pun intended. And like I do have like some experience in UI, and when a app or application is focused on like presenting a new type of feature, what they try to do is they try to put it in a place on the screen where it pops out, where the user, you and me, will be able to access it more often. So if you have the newest update on Twitter, you see that the spaces is pretty much on the bottom. So it's easy to select, easy to scroll, and just join a wild chat. But also you could see the people you follow on top of your screen to see who like what chat they're currently in. Now, they were beta testing this feature for the past couple of weeks. I think if you had a certain amount of followers, you'll be able to start your own spaces. But now I think like anybody could open their own spaces right. as well.
Jay-Z has been in several spaces rooms.
So spaces, what does it remind you of, Gio? Your favorite app of last year?
Oh, yeah. My favorite app of January, Clubhouse.
And what happened to Clubhouse now?
Clubhouse is irrelevant. No one really cares about Clubhouse anymore. It's finally done, by the way, because Clubhouse for a while it was in beta, so in order for you to be part of Clubhouse, you needed to get an invite from someone who's already part of Clubhouse to be part of Clubhouse. And what made Clubhouse cool is because there was a lot of celebrities on Clubhouse, you know, talking about certain stuff. There's a lot of rappers, you know, there's a lot of rap beef going on Clubhouse, which made it interesting. There was a lot of talks about stocks and stuff too from entrepreneurs, and then podcasting, blah 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 blah. That's what made Clubhouse an interesting app that everyone wanted to go, because they wanted to hear essentially their favorite celebrities, but also grow as people and grow within their career choices.
Yeah. My biggest problem was the beta testers were strictly focused on iPhone users, where I don't know the percentage, but there's a much bigger percentage of Android users than iPhone users in the world. And the iPhone's just expensive. So that was kind of my biggest problem with it. Also, when I finally got it on my iPad and I used it, it was all right. I didn't feel like I had to be involved in any of these parties, and it would just play it out pretty quickly, especially if it sounds like a podcast that doesn't have any chemistry.
Right.
You know, I listened to a couple of Star Wars ones, like, wow, all these guys have terrible, terrible opinions. Like, they made a joke where it's like, oh, like, what's your favorite movie and what's your least favorite one? Everybody's like, 5. And someone said their favorite movie was Episode 2. And then the guy's like, can you please explain that? And she went tangent for like 15 minutes and no one was buying anything she said. It's like, I still don't understand her conversation. So it's like small things like that. It's like, it might not be the best place for everybody, because I think Clubhouse created it in a more, hey, this is going to be like a TED Talk professional area.
Right.
Where everybody that has their own is like on the top of their game. That's not true.
That's not true, because then all the freaking thotties got a voice, and then you had these, you had freaking Lakeith Stanfield moaning on freaking Clubhouse, and niggas recorded that ish and posted it up on Twitter. You had crap like that, or you had, ooh, talk to your favorite sexy singles on Clubhouse.
But see, now just bringing the conversation back to like Twitter spaces, I feel like that is like a place for that. Because the amount of nonsense that's already there, especially like, you know, when people used to use lists, I don't know who uses lists anymore.
What's lists?
It's this nonsensical feature where you get to put people that you follow on a list to subscribe. Like, no one uses that anymore. That's more of like a 2012 feature. But like, you can make nonsense as like a chat room promoting. Right. On Twitter. Because it just feels like that's the perfect environment for that.
Yeah, there is a porn Twitter.
So yeah, exactly. It's just like an environment for nonsense like that compared to Clubhouse, which, like I said, it came off as this highbrow, professional LinkedIn type thing. It's like, right, you're going to put your whole personality on there to gain new followers, but you're also going to tell them to follow you on Instagram, because most of them knew that they weren't going to eat. Like, you can't eat on Clubhouse. You could eat on Twitter, because, you know, it connects to your Instagram. Bada bing, bada boom, like someone could hit you up with some free samples, right? To sell.
Right.
But that's kind of my thing. It's like, yeah, of course Clubhouse was going to fail. We have too many applications. In order for Clubhouse to succeed, one, it had to offer more features, and two, like, we will have to destroy one of these other apps. And I think TikTok took its spot.
Yeah, TikTok's definitely taken over the world. And of course, since that we're mentioning TikTok, our past guest, Wolwalt Rants, he's doing, again, incredible things on TikTok. So I just want to congratulate him once again. I think what also killed Clubhouse, Bastion, was the fact that there weren't many people working on the app. Whereas Twitter, once Twitter came out with their own version of Clubhouse, which is now Spaces, and I remember telling everyone on Clubhouse, I was like, hey, Twitter has this new Clubhouse feature. It's called Spaces. And none of these white people, none of these jabrons wanted to listen to me at all. And guess where they all are now? They're all on Spaces trying to talk to Hove. Whoop-dee-dee-freaking-do. It takes Twitter not that long to create their own version of Clubhouse because they have the money behind it.
Also, they did start on a project for it, but they didn't, like, you know, put it into full gear just yet.
Right.
But Clubhouse is a whole separate app. Like, this is adding a new feature. I think this might be a little bit more complicated.
Yeah, they have new features and all that stuff, Bash. I don't go on it, though. I could care less.
Yeah. Clubhouse, you know, RIP to y'all. Maybe it will probably pop off again in the next 2 years because they'll probably figure out, like, a more interesting feature to add on it.
Hopefully.
I think the biggest, like, problem, which is pretty difficult in all applications, is how to monetize it.
Yes. I know that they're doing partnerships on Clubhouse, but I don't know what that would entail or how much revenue a person who has a Clubhouse room or has a Clubhouse group would get. I wouldn't know about that at all. But yeah, once again, like I said, Jay-Z is on Twitter and he's doing Twitter Spaces. And he's doing chats and all that, okay? That should tell you something, people. You know, Hove isn't going to Clubhouse.
I think, like, the Clubhouse was supposed to be designed for, like, the smaller groups, people that, you know...
Industry have, people.
Like, industry. Or, like, regular people that have, like, 5,000 or 10,000 followers that want to connect with them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Instagram Live is, like, one of those things, especially when you could do, like, multiple chats within the live.
Yep.
You know, of course, that environment is definitely more convoluted,
mm-hmm,
and a bit broken down compared to, like, if you just do a Clubhouse where everybody has, like, their names pretty much as a profile. I think it worked out that way too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you live and learn.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's all about monetization, and I think Instagram and Twitter knows how to make money off things.
Yeah, I think once the peasants started coming into Clubhouse, that's when it got a lot sloppy in there.
No, I don't think so. I just think what you said before, they just didn't have anybody to build with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we got to build fine. We got to, like, get it off of the beta. Like, why are we still in beta?
Yeah.
And we're the talk of the town. Like, we should be, like, live, messing up. Like, failing live, but, like, we're up and running.
And I just want to say, black people made Clubhouse live, okay? All the celebrity beefs that was happening when black people was checking Chet Hanks on a Clubhouse Live, when Meek Mill and Academics was going at it on a Clubhouse. Again, when Lakeith Stanfield was moaning on a Clubhouse.
Whoa. I would like to say it's two things. That, but also the timing was just perfect.
Yeah. We were all inside.
All inside. I think all of us were tired. Well, especially me. I don't know about you, but I was dead tired on listening to podcasts.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to listen to something else, a little bit more lively. So... yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember when people were like, oh my God, is Clubhouse going to kill podcasting? And I try to talk so much. I just wanted to tell people, no, shut the fuck up. Clubhouse is just cool right now. Okay. And the reason why it's so cool is because we can't go outside and do anything. We are literally trapped. Okay. What happens when we go back outside? Are we going to be on Clubhouse now? And guess what the answer is, Basha? No, we're going back to podcasting.
You know, it's funny, in order for it to, like, be in the same conversation for podcasting, they would need a feature, something equivalent to like what Twitch does. They have this thing called VOD,
mm-hmm.
like video on demand. So after the streamer finishes their stream, the people like that missed out the stream could watch it when they're free mm-hmm. later on. Clubhouse didn't have that feature. If you miss the meeting, that's it. That information, all those recipes lost in the void. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't record it. So, no. I remember you did bring that up to me. It's like, oh, like they said, it's going to take over podcasts. Like, no way. It's more like a quick TED Talk. Like when no one's paying a ticket for a seat. So
right. Yeah. I think when something is new and cool, people automatically expect this new and cool thing to automatically take over the landscape, if you will. So, sort of like what TikTok did with social media now being one of the juggernauts in the social media realm. And I just have a conspiracy theory that children are going to be mind controlled by the Chinese, like Chimpokumon in South Park. But that's just me. That's just my little out there conspiracy theory. But again, once people find the new cool thing, they automatically think it's going to be something to kill off what was before, such as like podcasting. But I think people don't allow certain things to breathe, to see if they withstand the test of time anymore. I think people just like certain things because it's hot at the moment, which can correlate to other things like music and movies and shows. And I don't think people will give certain things time to breathe and just to let it be as is. And I think sometimes the hype can kill what traction you do have.
Yeah, especially if you don't know how to monetize it.
Absolutely.
Traction, no money. Mm-hmm. What you doing, bro? What you doing? Is mm-hmm. Now you're just going to have, like, I work for Clubhouse on your LinkedIn account. Shout out to you.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, here's another thing that became really popular this year, Bastion. NFTs.
Yeah, NFTs conversation has been all over the place.
Yes.
I do think it's become part of like a political conversation. Because one, it feels like a scam. Two, in theory, it's like a scam. But it's more like a digital painting that value goes imaginary, right?
And it kills the environment.
And that's kind of three, like the environment effects, especially if it's on the Ethereum blockchain, which right. requires a lot more energy. But I do believe like it could work out pretty nicely. I think my favorite NFT would be like a certificate.
Mm.
Because if you get a certificate, but it's like you're not paying for it. But the technology for like having a certificate where you can actually prove it's yours, I think that will be pretty cool. And you just put it on a blockchain that uses pretty much zero energy whatsoever. So I do think the technology is pretty cool and interesting, but you know, the value and we're doing it all wrong, bro.
So like a certificate of like authentication? Of,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, if you took a sewing class and you know, you could get a job with this like standard certificate, like just put in the NFT form. And I think that would be pretty cool.
Mm.
Like I said, it shows proof of ownership.
Mm-hmm. And going on with the NFT thing, I think this coincides with it, is the semiconductors. Bastion, remember that? The chip shortages that we've been experiencing.
Remember that, dude? It's affected every single thing. And it's going to affect tomorrow. You know, I'm surprised you brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
Now I feel like I got to talk another 10 minutes.
Let's go, man.
I was about to get into the song of the week, but now you brought up semiconductors.
Absolutely, bud.
And I'm telling the people now, like, the next 6 months of our lives, maybe all it's like 2 years of our lives, will be affected so badly. The same, and it's only strange because, one, they knew it was going to be a problem soon. Two, the pandemic told everybody to kind of slow down on the production and then like raise the production on other things that no one really cares about, like cell phones, right?
Right.
But like, it's almost the same thing as the oil reserve problem that we're having right now.
Yeah.
Which isn't really, it's expensive for you and me, but if you go to Europe, it's like $8 over there.
Goddamn $8. Joe Biden.
No, it's exactly. They keep blaming Joe Biden for that. It's like, no, if you recall, and we all remember, they kind of slowed everything down, like, on purpose. They didn't pump as much oil as they normally do. So now that Joe Biden had a speech yesterday saying he'll open the reserve in order to lower the price of gas, but whatever. That's a different conversation for a different day.
Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about Joe Biden's ass in January so we can talk about the full-fledged first year of Joe Biden in office and why in 2024 I'm voting for Kanye if he's running again. I'm not voting for any one of them.
No way you're running again. won't be here. Anyways, so semiconductors pretty much affected everything. Black Friday is tomorrow, right?
Yes, it is.
Black Friday is like the real day you try to go out and buy a TV. I explained a couple episodes.
Nintendo
Switches, especially the new one, yeah. Which I heard like connecting it to your screen does like nothing has increased or improved, but the OLED technology is like beautiful. But a couple episodes ago, I told you like, I'm doing research for a new TV, and I realized why TVs are cheaper now because of the technology they're selling to you. They're able to add more commercials the minute you open the TV before you click send me to cable button. And not just the TVs, but things from like microwaves, things from toaster ovens, air fryers, all those things use the type of chip. And we're going to lose those type of things pretty, pretty soon to the point where, you know, it's going to be just sold out. You're going to go in there because your current toaster oven broke and you're trying to say, hey, let me get another one. So, yeah, you got to, you know, order today. We ship it to you in a month.
Yeah.
Ship it to you in 2 months.
It's all on back orders now.
All in back orders now. And everything is based on technology.
Yes.
But currently, I'm in the issue right now that my stove at home, the oven doesn't work.
Oh, damn.
And yeah, I know, a day before Thanksgiving, crazy. And in order for us to fix it, we have to wait like until next week.
Mm.
Because there's only so many people that can actually fix it.
Right.
And will they have the part to fix it? Because it's all electrical. Like pretty much all our technology is just extra electrical stuff.
Yes.
So I don't know. Well, has the semiconductors or any type of shortages affected you personally?
Personally, I'll say no, because I have not gone out to procure any sort of new technology whatsoever. I have been contemplating that new Nintendo Switch, though, but I'm not going to lie to you. But I haven't thought about getting any new televisions nor phone systems, nothing. So me personally, nothing has happened where a semiconductor is needed or those small chips are needed.
Interesting. So my girlfriend's place, we ordered a new dining table, right? Mm-hmm. From Boss Furniture. I'm going to call out Boss Furniture real quick because it's affordable, right?
It's supposed to be affordable.
Nice glass table with an espresso bottom. You know, it's nice dark wood. It's cool. In theory, if you order something like furniture, and we're talking about like pre-pandemic, you know, it'll probably come a month or a couple of weeks from now. So we ordered that joint in August. It's still not here, right? We ordered that joint in August. And this is kind of not just the semiconductors, but also because of how the shipments and the freights that's coming into the ports and how they're still there because they're just overstocking the ports. And it takes too long to bring the freights off the port, off the ship to the port, from the port to a truck and just shipping it to where it needs to be. So that's the beautiful cause and effect. We're just all around messed up out here in the land of the free and the home of the brave.
This is giving me serious flashbacks of when you ordered that Jay Electronica album and like April, and you didn't get it until he's getting angry. You didn't get it until like October.
No, I didn't get it until like February. It was like almost a year.
Yeah,
almost a whole year, and it was due to those same problems.
Yeah,
because I ordered it literally 1 week before the pandemic countdown started.
That's right. He bought it in like April.
Yeah.
2020.
No, March.
Oh, you bought it in March 2020?
Yeah, like I said, like
one that makes week, it worse.
1 week before, like I said, yeah, dude, my timeline, I always told you, my timeline is the minute they shut down everything in New York, the same week one was always listening to Jetronica. Two, I had COVID. Couldn't go to work.
That's literally right. Sick. Yep.
Literally sick. Anyways. Everything has a cause and effect. And this is what I was saying in the beginning of the episode. I'm thankful for a lot of things. I'm thankful that I had all the technology in my fingertips. Thankful for this mic. And I'm able to do this from home and everything. I still want a newer mic.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I understand certain things in the that we like technology-wise won't be available for us as quickly next year. And the year after next year. And the year after that. But I know Biden said he wants to put some money up to like build semiconductors here in the United States. And it's like, yeah, you think you do that? You think you could put up money to build a factory to do semiconductors? You know how hard it is to create semiconductors? Like you're talking about, gotta be clean. No dust.
Mm.
Crazy.
What else has been going on this year, Bastion? Ooh, here's one. Here's one that I would never have suspected would happen, and I would never have expected to say this out loud. The freaking Taliban won.
Oh yeah, we didn't even talk about that.
Talk about it. We talked about it briefly, but we talked about it in the Black Seinfeld way. And the Black Seinfeld way was, think about this. We had this war going on in Afghanistan for 20 years. Since we were
all our lives.
All of our lives, since we were children, six years old.
Young enough to know what war is, but young, dumb enough not to understand it.
Yeah, we understood what war meant, but we didn't understand how long it would last. We just thought, hey, this was going to be done by next week, and we're good.
Yeah.
No.
I didn't read the books. They don't make baby books for World War II, right?
Yeah, they don't. And
that's Indiana Jones is for.
And then 20 years later, American soldiers are now leaving Afghanistan, and all of a sudden, the Taliban just came out of nowhere and just took over. Like, there's Taliban government now, people. Like, it is crazy. They're laying down the law. They're laying down the rules. A lot of it is affecting women. I'm not going to lie. It just is what it is. Bastion, what are your thoughts, man?
You know, this is America, home of the free. We're allegedly a first world country. And it's just interesting to see us. Well, it's interesting to see things in real time. It's just the whole history book, right? You heard about the 80s, you heard about the 40s, and you heard about the 1800s. Well, this is happening now. We, United States, went there for a long period of time saying we're going to do things that they never did.
Find them weapons of mass destruction.
Wasted a lot of money, you know, while we're there, we're doing other things too. And then when you're here, we need GoFundMes to help pay for people's operations if they have a sort of type of cancer because they don't have insurance. So it's just insane that we'll spend trillions of dollars on war and interesting new weapons, but this can't help anybody out here. That's what it is. That's what I feel like an entire book should be about. No, I forget what book it was. It was a Naomi Klein book discussing like all the money that will go to any type of, you know, missionary help. If they say, hey, we're going to build a school.
Mm-hmm.
Red Cross
and all that?
Anything. So it's like, hey, you know, we're going to send $5 million to build a school over there. And it's like, all right, cool. You know, that person will get that $5 million. Someone gets a nice cut off that. All right, now here you go. Here's $4.5 million. Then that person gets a cut. Then you give it to another contractor and keep going down to the point when they actually are ready to build the school. They'll only have like $200,000 left on it.
Mm.
So yeah, it's a cruel world, and it's coming to an end, which only means that something else is going to begin.
The rapture?
No, it's like So they gotta have the next eye on something. Come on, we're research and development. What are we gonna use the development on, bro?
China.
No, that's not a thing. That's a different type of conversation. That's a battle of intellectual property. All you could do is make sure you can mess with the money flow. No way they're doing like weapons and stuff. It has to be a country where they know they could crumble it down and occupy it for 20 plus years again.
North Korea. I'm joking, Bastion.
That would be too much because it's like you want the history books to literally write after America left.
They came back.
They came back, pretty much.
They came back better than ever.
I actually read this thing where it's saying like, oh, women will be able to be in the draft now. So, all right, that's work for me.
Wait, in North Korea or here?
Here.
Oh, okay.
You know, equality, right? So it's like, yep, you get to be part of the draft.
Hey, that's right, baby. You wanted that equality. Let's get it. Equal rights.
It's wild.
Shout out to the Magic 8 Ball.
I thought it was already a thing, to be honest, but.
Yeah, I did too. Shout out to the Magic 8 Ball guy.
Yeah. Yo, let's get into the first song.
Sure, Bastion, you get to pick up the songs, bud. Which one would you like to hear first?
So let's get into the Busta Rhymes song.
More Busta Rhymes. Okay. Put your hands where my eyes can see. Of course, a classic record, a classic music video, and his dedication to coming to America. This is one of the most known Busta Rhymes songs and videos because of how animated he is, how much of a cartoon character he looks, and how much of a cartoon character we thought he was to us as children growing up. This is where Put Your Hands Where My Eyes Can See, Busta Rhymes.
Check it out. Hit you with no delaying, so what you saying, yo? Silly with your ice, grilly with the dilly, yo. What? When I be on the mic, yes, I do my duty, yo. While up in the club, like we while in the studio. You know when the violin, baby, really and truly, yo. My main thug, villain ain't Julio, he moody, yo. What? Type of rubber that'll slap you with the tulio. Yo. Real shook, scared to death, act fruity, yo. X that, looking shorty, she a little cutie, yo. The way she shake it, make me want to get all in the booty, yo. Top mistress of the banging misses and videos. While I'm with my freak, like we up in the freak shows. Hit you with the shit, make you feel it all in your toes. Hotch, got all my people in red clothes. Telling my metaphors when I formulate my flows. If you don't know, you're messing with lyrical player pros. Like,
you really wanna party with me? Let me see just what you got for me. Put all your hands with my eyes to see. Straight buck wildin' in the place to be. If you really wanna party with me, let me see just what you got for me. Put all your hands with my eyes to see. Straight buck wildin' in the place to be. If you really wanna party with me.
Ain't gonna be trust. What? Yo, it's a must that you heard of us. Yo, we murder us. A lot of people is wondering and they're curious. How me and my unit deal with it so mysterious. Furious, all of my people is serious. Should others be walking around fearing us? What? Front, baby, like you don't wanna be hearing us. Nope. Gotta listen to Harry D, he'll be playing us. 30 times a day, it'll make you delirious. What? Damaging everything all up in your area. Yo, it's funny how all the chickens be always serving us. All up in between the ants where they wanna carry us. Hit you good, then I hit them off with the alias. What? Various chickens, they wanna marry us. Yo, it's flip mode, you stupid, you know we bout to bust. 7-figure money, the label preparing us. Fight the dust instead of you making the fuss. People know better, cause they ain't no comparing us. Mad at us, yes, you know better, we fabulous. Hit my people off with the flow, that be marvelous. Bullshit, my whole clique victorious. Taking no prisoners with us, straight up warriors. When I feel it, then I know you be feeling so glorious. Then we blitz and reminisce on my people notorious.
We really wanna party like that, that. Let me see that, what you got for me. Put all your hands with my eyes to see. Straight buck wildin' in the place to be. If you really wanna party with me, let me see just what you got for me. Put all your hands with my eyes to see. Straight buck wildin' in the place to be. If you really wanna party with me.
That was Put Your Hands Where My Eyes Can See from Busta Rhymes, Busta Bus.
Great song, great song.
Great song. Welcome back to Black Seinfeld, the show about nothing. This is the family gathering day edition of Black Seinfeld today. And Bastion, is it true that you went to Plymouth Rock?
Yeah, yeah. Pretty sure that was still does the same thing right now.
Yes, he told me that you went.
Oh, really? Oh, wow, yeah.
Shout out to Daoud Andre from Haiti, Our Revolution Continues.
Yeah, I went maybe back in 2000, I like to say maybe 2009, 2008, maybe around there. I don't really remember. But I do remember going there. It was very interesting. It was cold. It's cold as hell.
Did you understand as a kid what it meant to be at Plymouth Rock?
Yeah, I like you talked to Daoud. You see where his politics is going, so you know. Yes. My dad's almost just like politics wise. So I was very, very aware at a young age. It's just going there is like this, put like a staple on it. It's like, oh, it's really like I'm really not doing Thanksgiving. I'm actually out here. Okay, mm-hmm. Interesting. That's the only type of like mental shock you'll have, that you're mm-hmm. not doing something at home. Like, come on, rabbit, be home.
Eat this turkey.
Yeah, exactly. But it was good. It was a good experience. It was very interesting. Maybe you should go. Hop on the bus. I think you like it. You probably ask a lot of questions too, which is good.
Yeah.
But yeah, they do the same thing every year. Protests against Thanksgiving, and just being clear what the holiday. I have to examine the holiday and what it really means. Yeah. So yeah, it's very interesting. Very interesting. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think I know one person who's going to enjoy their Thanksgiving, and that's Kyle Rittenhouse.
Nah, you can do. I was actually thinking of another transition.
Okay.
I said, like, speaking of like all like family issues, let's talk about like some problems. I don't know, something similar to that. I know where we're trying to transition to, like it was all about the flow.
That is true. That is true.
But then you told me the Plymouth Rock thing. So, okay, yeah.
I kind of threw you off there. I apologize. But yeah, I got that message. I was like, oh, let me just ask you about, you know, not landing on Plymouth Rock, but Plymouth Rock.
Oh, I was going to say, speaking of family arguments, the biggest argument that we had this week is the trial of Kyle Rittenhouse. That was my transition.
Yes, that was good. And probably this is going to be the biggest argument a lot of white family members are going to have around the Thanksgiving table, you know, because I know a lot of people, not even just white people, but, you know, when you get together with your family.
I like to say, like, heavily conservative.
Yes, there you go. Heavily conservative family members will come and, you know, have their opinions, you know, be shared after a couple of wines or you know, some rum has been drinking, you know, and they just let the word diarrhea flow. And they're definitely, Kyle Rittenhouse is going to be a topic of conversation today, tonight, into Black Friday morning.
So rule number one, like, very interesting when you're talking to a conservative, is like, if you keep questioning, they're going to stop talking. So you don't even have to respond. Just keep questioning until they understand those, like, the morals and also the holes in their logic. It's going to really come out. And then they're just going to stop talking to you. It's like, oh, you don't get it. It's like, no, I'm asking you the question. You can't explain it. I guess you don't get it either. But, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, after 27 hours of deliberation, it has been found that the jury has declared Kyle Rittenhouse not guilty on all five charges he faced after fatally murdering two people during the Kenosha, Wisconsin protests, Black Lives Matter protests again, you know, which spawned from the George Floyd incident and then the stuff happening in Wisconsin as well. Kyle Rittenhouse, people, he got off scot-free, and the most, I'll say, non-surprising trial of all time, because this man, and he is a man. If he could go around walking around with assault rifles, which he's not supposed to have, by the way, but you know, whatever. If he could go around, you know, to places where he's not supposed to be, all gathered up, you know what I'm saying? And he had a damn judge that really took pity on him. I will say that. All right.
A lot of empathy for him.
A lot of empathy for him. You know, he seemed very, and he wasn't, he didn't even hide it. You know, that was the thing. There was a lot of Kyle biases going on in there. Like, he even got to, you know, like, he got to pick some jurors.
Yeah, he was able to get the name out to choose the alternate jurors.
Exactly.
Out jurors. Is it that?
Yes.
Anyways, yeah. So, yeah, he had a lot of charges on him. Well, I think when this whole trial started, I wasn't really paying full attention, but I was going in and out.
Yeah, and we were working, damn it.
And people were having a conversation on where it would go and what should happen. And I think once I saw that possession of a dangerous weapon by a person under 18 was dismissed, that was when everything pretty much... That's when I kind of understood. It's like, okay, this is definitely not going to go the way that people will like it to go. Mm-hmm. And people like us will like it to go. It's definitely going to go the opposite direction. He's definitely going to pretty much walk off with no problem.
Scot-free.
Once the judge dismissed that charge, possession of a dangerous weapon by a person under 18, and yes. I think that charge is important to also, like, this signify, like, the whole situation. It's August 25th in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Yes, Wisconsin.
And there's protests going on, and there are people walking around with AR-15-style semi-automatic rifles there to, what else to do? Protect the business, right? Oh, that's a policeman's job. The policeman's job is not to protect people, it's to protect businesses because they're afraid it's going to burn down, like they don't got insurance to rebuild it to something better. But that's kind of the one of the main conversation, because this will set the precedent for every time another protest will happen, and there will be more protests happening. So if there's going to be, people like, you know, breaking down buildings, of course, that's, you know, we don't condone that. But it's going to happen. It's all part of the protest conversation. Definitely. And those buildings will be fine. They will be covered. Okay. You know, people will clean it up the next day. But if you're going to go out there with weapons just to, like, aim and attack people, because if you have a weapon outside, what you're doing with that weapon? What does that say about you?
You're looking for trouble.
You're war ready. That means you're ready for war, right?
Itchy trigger finger.
You've been practicing with this weapon, and you're out here in a situation that will put you in a situation where you have to act on instinct, right? And what's your instinct is a lot different when you have a weapon in your hand.
That's right, because it's power.
It's power. There's be countless of articles of one person in the household shot another person in the household because they thought it was an armed robbery.
Yeah.
Right? Like, those small, tiny things, like, you know, it's a person, oh, the person came like 3 hours late from home and, like, ends up getting shot. That's just, like, the type of power that only a weapon has. But I think just going back to Kyle Rittenhouse and the charges he had was, like, first-degree reckless homicide,
yes,
first-degree intentional homicide. And he did kill two people and injured another person.
Yes. And I find it quite interesting how the judge didn't want to notify the people that were murdered by Kyle Rittenhouse as victims. I thought that was interesting to note as well.
Yeah. Apparently in this story, Kyle was the victim. And that, like I said, these are just like small red flags. As someone that wasn't paying attention to the whole thing, and, you know, information will come out and I just read a headline or read someone's dissertation of like what happened during the day.
Right.
They said, you can't respond. You can't use comments. You have to call them rioters. You have to call them protesters. And of course, you got to sprinkle a little BML, Black Lives Matter, BLM.
BLM, there you go.
you know, everywhere in order to kind of put that extra race into it.
Right, exactly. See, Kyle is innocent. Kyle, you know, he was trying to look out for himself. Well, hey, if Kyle never decided to take it upon himself to go play Superman or whatever, because you know what we would call that, Bastion, where we're from? We would call that vigilantes, okay? And we don't like that here. We don't do them things here, okay? He's not Batman, all right? He's just a little child who felt like he was a man with a gun. A heavy automatic weapon at that.
Yeah, this situation was... It was pretty interesting when it happened and how, like, all the information was flooded. But also it was interesting on how the conservative party would react and, like, calling him a hero. Just using him in conversation topics. Also, there's this footage where he went into a bar and he was taking pictures of people, and I think he ended up getting kicked out the bar. I don't remember why. But they kind of create him as a sort of right-wing celebrity.
Right. And it's disgusting.
And the concept of self-defense.
Yeah, and you saw what happens when he took stand, right? You saw them, those lemonhead tears. Fake-ass tears. What were your thoughts on those fake-ass tears?
Well, it can be, maybe it was his lawyer that told him, like, hey, you know, spill it up in, a little bit more. Because you want empathy, right? You want empathy from the jurors so they can relate to you, so they could understand, and then give you that not guilty verdict.
Right.
Because that's the whole game. You're just applying to the jurors to make sure that your trial is what you want to convey. That's the message that you want them to go by. So it's like, all right, so not guilty.
Yeah.
And how long did they take, you said?
27 hours to deliberate.
27. Okay.
Basically a day and some change.
A day and some change. All right. That's the whole thing with the juror process. It's always been so interesting, especially when I was a juror.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Like, please tell me about that process.
No, so they ask you questions and stuff. I won't initially say, like, what the case was about.
No.
But I always remember they try to find people that aren't too connected to the case in any form of way. So the case it was like a car accident case. The woman and the man, right? And before they even told us, they told us, like, it was a car accident case. Then they were asking us questions. I still remember to this day that the person next to me, they asked him, like, where would you want to go if you're going on vacation? He said he wanted to go to Haiti, right? So,
oh, they were like, oh, get this ninja out of here. That noodle out of here.
He said, okay, thank you. We deliberated, and I think you could go.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here. You said Haiti? Oh, get this N-word out.
And no, I promise. It's less than that, because this situation doesn't call for that. But in any other situation, it'll probably aim towards that direction, because it's not... It's about your race, but it's also about your education and what your values are. So they're going to ask you questions about your values and what your perspectives are. And they try to convey as much information from you in order for you to stay or just kick you out immediately.
I bet you if he said my dream destination is to go to Paris, his ass would have stayed.
No, well, that's what I said. I said England. Because at that time, I was a broke boy summer that year. I was listening to a lot of, like, England music. And I thought they were doing things wild different. Like, oh, man, I would love to go to a concert out there. And that was kind of my conversation. Like, so why would you want to go there and not anywhere else? Like, well, the music scene is crazy out there. I love music here. I go to a lot of concerts. I think going to a concert there will be different, like a culture shock. And so, okay. You know, then the case happens and you find out it's the Haitian man. So the whole thing is they don't want that connection that will create this type of biases where you feel for the as a Haitian person, the Haitian person,
right,
going to relate more to them. So whatever they convey, it's like, okay, you know what? So they try to make it as equal as possible. That's the whole thing, equal. You know, I don't know if the lady was, like, Jamaican, so the kid guy was Jamaican, but they're trying to balance it as much.
Wait a minute. Do they know your last name then or no?
No, I think I'm numbered.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, if they knew your last name, they would have kicked your ass out.
No, they were still... it's not about like a... Yes. About assuming, too. It's about assuming.
Yeah, exactly. Because homie said like, he would go,
but
hey.
none of the lawyers were Caribbean. So like if they were like... let's say it was a Jamaican lawyer. He looked at my last name. He'd probably kick me out on the spot. But they weren't. They're both two white lawyers. So
of course they are.
So, like, this whole thing definitely was I want to use the term predetermined, but it was bound to happen. You know, they built the juror, they built the case, a lot of double standards. The judge pretty much has so much empathy for Kyle Rittenhouse to the point where he pretty much sold the case to the jurors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was the end of the story. And it was just really weird seeing that in real time.
I totally agree with you, Bastion, and it just reiterates what we've been saying about the justice system, about the American justice system all along, and the fact that his victims, because that's what they were, his victims, weren't even people of color. These were white people protesting on behalf of the Black Lives Matter movement, and just on behalf of, you know, what we all know of what happened with George Floyd was wrong, you know, and the systematic oppression of black people, they were fighting for that reason alone. So with that, having their names attached to that, and again, them being called rioters, you already know with the biased judge and somewhat of a jury that, you know, can take empathy on this kid with his fake ass little tears. I was not surprised at all to see him walk away scot-free.
I thought another thing, as you said, the victims, the three people that were, well, two people were killed, one of them was shot, were all white. They did so much to like kill their character as a person, because you don't know who they are in the incident. It's not like they met each other in the past and they killed it for a reason. It's like this was an instant. What they ended up doing was kind of like fishing their backstory. It's like, this person's a sex offender. And like, it's like, they're not indirectly saying anything after that.
Yes.
But, you know, it's up to your assumptions. What they're trying to say is like, oh, he got rid of somebody. Right. Same yes. thing for, you know, the George Floyd thing. Like when the situation happened, they just spill out his entire past because they want you to not relate to this guy at all. And they show no empathy.
Right. And they want you to see him as a criminal.
Exactly. So that's what they did for the people that were killed. Like, they were, you know, they looked at their past and they said what the type of person they were. Called them rioters and made them look like bad guys.
Looters.
That was the situation. But the Ahmaud Arbery trial also happened around the same time.
Yes.
The verdict came out and all three men were guilty for the murder of killing of Ahmaud
Arbery.
Arbery.
Yes.
And I think that situation was interesting too.
Right.
Because of like how I think the district attorney tried to hide the case, and she's about to go on trial for trying to doctor the case as well.
Absolutely.
And so that's just the system. It's like it's designed to protect. Of course, like in this situation, they couldn't
deny it.
They couldn't deny it because it didn't make any sense. Exactly. Like this young man was running. You stopped him and killed him. Is that for no reason? Jail. This is literally what this is. Jail. That's it.
Yeah. They even admitted, like, yes, we pursued Mr. Arbery, although he didn't seem like a threat at all. He wasn't armed, but we still pursued him.
Jail. Life.
That's right.
No parole.
That's right. At least we got some justice here.
It's only... Yeah.
Some.
I still don't believe in, like, the prison and stuff, especially how we do in the United States, but, you know, jail these fools. Interesting week.
It was definitely an interesting week. Now, I know you don't believe in a jail system, so what would you want as a punishment for these three men?
No, it's not like just be one simple punishment. Like you, like our current jail system isn't designed for anything. So it's pretty much just like redoing the jail system. Like if you're a criminal and criminal, you're going to jail. That's it. So, but it's just how our jail system is pretty abused. And like regular people. So yeah.
I have a tactic that we can use amongst criminals like them. I'd like to make this a new thing. What if we feed them Popeye's biscuits? Hear me out. See, I'm not see you laughing. I'm dead ass bashing. What if we feed them Popeye's biscuits and give them no water? No jelly neither. And they have to eat that.
You're basically condoning torture, bro.
Yes.
Can't condone that. No, you can't.
Yes.
People in prison, that's bad.
I'm not torturing you if I'm giving you, if I'm feeding you. I'm not torturing you. I'm not letting you eat like.
You're putting them in this situation where they got to think fast. I don't know, man. That's funny.
See, you think I'm not even laughing. I'm serious here.
All right. Well, let's get into the next song.
Sure, Bastion. Before we play the next song,
yeah.
I have a surprise for you.
All right.
It's a new song from Earl Sweatshirt. How we feeling?
The new song. All right, go ahead, play it.
Yeah, the new song from Earl Sweatshirt, and then when we come back, we could talk a little bit more and then play your next song. Okay, this is new Earl Sweatshirt, the early man here. This is 2010. Wow, I remember that year. It was 11 years ago. Here it is, that new Earl Sweatshirt.
Need a bigger bag for the cohort. Trying to make a millionaire out of slum dogs. Bet that head crack blunt force. Cozy with the East Africans up north. Where 7 make a 3 turn a 10 by law. Crescent moon wink when I blinked it was gone. Left the crib smack no sheath on the sword. Made it by the skin on my teeth, thank God. 03 mama rocking Liz Claiborne. Had her stressing up the wall playing Mary J songs. Rainy day came, couldn't rinse the stains off. Long way to go, we already came far. Story stayed the same, it was never made up. Threw me loose chains. Look at what I made of it. When the mood change, I'ma poker face them. It's a new day, who got all the aces? Who be folding late, who know when to play dead? Who stood up straight when the roof caved in? Had a full play, you ain't wanna split it. Told your teeth straight, you ain't wanna listen. Cup running over the brim. Bus open, there's no closing the lid. Drum roll, here go my little entrance. Gung-ho, I'm the one that go get it. 5-0's on me like the Olympics. Pure gold, something told me don't mix it. Caught a feeling, mama had me out temple. Not religious, we was really out Philly. Living on the fly, trying to wing it. We got us a fire to rekindle. Redirect the fight where it's meant for. Triumph over plight and immense loss. Right alone at night, I get clear thoughts. Caught a couple slice and I veered off. Saw another height, had my ears popping. Walked outside, it was still gorgeous. Sharp insides was revealed slowly. In the dark inside, we was real hungry. On the 7 of the 5, we was real hungry. Niggas still drumming. Foot shook ground when I stepped on it. Didn't look back when I broke soil. Cause every time I did, it would hurt more. In the dark inside, we was real hungry. On the 7 of the 5, we was real hungry. And I didn't look back when I broke soil. Cause every time I did, it would hurt more. Alright.
Welcome back, welcome back. That was Earl Sweatshirt, the early man, with 2010. Bastion, what are your thoughts on this new record from Earl Sweatshirt?
Yeah, I heard this record. He's going bar for bar. Great song, great song. I initially wanted to play that record, but I decided to go a little bit more West Coast flavor this episode.
Oh, hey, it's fine. We can totally play the West Coast record next. And I'm going to call you now West Side Bash. That is your new name. That's what I decree on to you, sir.
We chef. So let's get into music. definitely want to concentrate on two works. The first work we want to concentrate is Catronada, the EP.
Intimidated.
You know, sometimes I completely forgot Catronada is Haitian.
Wait, what?
I just forget that he's Haitian sometimes, man.
I didn't even know that.
Yes, Catronada is Haitian from Canada. He recently dropped a 3-track project with her, Thundercat, and Makame.
Yes.
Makame is Haitian. And Griselda. They have a fabulous track of Makame speaking Creole for like 90% of the track.
Do you know what he was saying in that record?
Yeah. You know, I won't be able to convey it for you until I listen to it again. But I understood. But he was great. He was going bar for bar. It's like his spitting a little bit faster than he normally does. But it just really, really worked. So the song is called $ Paid for Haiti. And when I saw those two names on the track, like, oh yeah, he's Haitian. Like, of course he wants to do this song. Of course he will love to do more Haitian tracks. I do see that, you know, that would be great if they did a project together. You know, a little more party, jazz, soul, electric beats with some Makame raps on top of that. That would be like the new Madlib type beat, you know? It'd be very interesting. Like Madlib and Freddie Gibbs.
Yes. So. And what was your different. Thought on the three tracks? Because I thought they were great.
Yeah, all three of them were great. I think they flowed nicely together. Mm-hmm. The Thundercat track was perfect. Her did exactly what you're supposed to do when you have that type of beat.
Yeah. Yeah, I have nothing else to say about it. Like, it was a good EP. Great three songs.
Great ideas. I know you wanted to drop something. Yeah, if he comes out with an album, it's going to be very interesting.
Exactly. But, yeah. Let's not forget Grammy Award winning Catronada.
Grammy Award winning. Oh, yeah, he won last year.
He did win last year for Bubba.
And there was a lot of Grammys that got nominated this week, but I don't really want to go over it because
that next week.
No, I just personally don't care about like who got nominated.
Not even the best rap category?
No, not even the best rap category because I feel like it still plays to the mainstream flavor.
Okay.
All the amazing rap albums that came out this year, of course, you're not going to nominate them unless you have some type of favor or maybe your record label put your name up for you and get that conversation going. So it just feels faker this year for some reason. It's always been fake, but for this year, it feels a little bit faker.
Okay, so I guess we won't talk about it next week. All right, I got you.
we talk about it. We talk about it when they win in like February. I think we'll break that down. Like, we
got it. Award season.
Award seasons.
Okay.
But I want you to lead this conversation.
Oh man, this is it, people. This is the big one. Okay, let's take it back. Let's just go back to the beginning. Back to early October, where a new track came to the horizon from one Adele, Easy On Me. And Easy On Me was a track about heartbreak, was a track about picking yourself up from the dirt, from the ground of misery, of heartbreak and pain. A track about divorce from your husband. Someone that you created a child with and you're trying to, you know, find yourself and be whole once again. But it's hard out here because you lost your significant other through divorce. Ladies and gentlemen, once Adele said on her Instagram Live that she's coming out with a new album and it will be dropping on November. And in addition, the top inspiration of that album is her divorce? Her divorce? You have to... Let me just preference this, people. Adele is in a category many few artists are in nowadays, okay? Because Adele, along with artists like Drake, even Nicki to an extent, these were artists who came into limelight, into the spotlight, where streaming was not a thing yet. Okay, they were the last of a dying breed, people. 2009, all right, you had artists like Justin Bieber and Lady Gaga, you know, these musical heavyweights, these musical titans, you know, they were still making airwaves around this time, okay? And streaming was not a thing yet, okay? People were still illegally on LimeWire, okay? Let's keep it real, Bastion. People were also using that. They were using iTunes because it was still a dollar, okay? People were still buying music or downloading it illegally. We didn't know what the hell a stream was. And YouTube. So, and plus, Adele has sold. She's a platinum-selling artist, okay? No one is able to do what Adele can do in this day and age, in this climate, except for a few people. Drake is in there.
So, and you're talking to her as like an artist.
Yes, as an artist. Here's the thing about Adele too, people. She's not like Drake where she releases music every single year. And then when I mean music, I'm even talking about the playlist Drake will drop or like the little care packages he would drop. Adele does not do that every single year. Adele is very much like a Kendrick Lamar, okay? First, she's there in the spotlight. She'll bring you some music. Then she'll go away and you won't hear from her for a while, damn it. That is Adele, okay? When was the last time we heard from Adele? That was the 25 album. That was, what, 5 years ago?
Yeah.
And that was happy Adele, mind you, okay? This was brand new, freshly married Adele. She was happy as hell.
Now they had a little, like, sad song.
Of course.
And my love.
She had some sad songs, but this was like a stronger, I'm happier Adele.
Yeah.
Okay, nigga, she was in the house and stuff like that. Let's not pretend like this was in 21, okay? Where she was, there's a fire burning in my heart, reaching at a fever pitch, and it's bringing me out the dark, cuz. Nah.
That's a crazy album for 21, by the way.
And I
went back to it. I actually went back to all her songs. Like, wow, this is really mature for 21. Because you listen to 21-year-olds. Well, it's always like, sometimes you just don't have the energy. I don't know.
Gangsters cry to Adele, bro. Listen, I have an older brother who is the complete opposite of me, okay? Whenever someone like you is on and them keys start, like, he gets so emotional.
You know what's funny? Like, you know, artists, like, you know how Lord came out with an album and I just disliked it because it's, like, I just didn't like the lyrics she was using?
Yeah.
It just sounds very childish, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Her other music still sounds childish, but it's much better. It's like that's what you kind of expect her to kind of go to this direction, like Adele did. Mm. Just like this, you know, thematic, but like very mature. Not really being so straightforward, but you know exactly what she's talking about.
But see, man, Lord hasn't been married yet. Lord hasn't gone.
No. It doesn't have to be about marriage and stuff. It's just like, it's all about life, right? You're making music about life, and it's just the words and how you create, how you express it. I thought she expressed it pretty well in her first two albums, but in the latest album, I didn't like it as much. But I don't want to talk this as a comparison to the two. But I just like, you know, this is the direction I was hoping for her to go from what I heard from, like, you know, this going back to Adele's old projects and also now listening to 30s. Like, okay, this is kind of how you make music.
Yes. Yep. So let me just go to the first track really quick. And I'm going to give you my first impression of this track, Strangers by Nature. Okay. I'm walking to the train station. I'm like, oh crap, it's Friday. It's cold out. It's time to listen to this new Adele 30. I've been waiting. I've been patiently waiting. And immediately, Bastion, you know what Adele says? That sets the tone for this whole album. She says, I'll be taking the flowers to my cemetery, bruh. I'll be taking the flowers to my cemetery. Excuse me? Why are you taking the flowers to your cemetery, Adele? I'm taking the flowers to the cemetery of my heart. For all of my lovers in the presence are now in the dark. What? Are you crazy? Are you serious? This is how we're going to start this album? Oh my God, Adele's going through it. I'm ready. She's about to give us some sad heat, some sad ballads, some sad bars. That was just the first two verses I gave you. That was it.
Yeah, this track was produced by Ludwig Göransson, who's also, you know Ludwig.
Yes, I do.
So, yeah, this scene on the first track, it's like, oh, this is wild. Okay, this is cool. But I do agree. I thought the lyrics, it's one thing listening, but it's another thing like when you like read the lyrics too.
And you feel it, Bastion. And
it just hits you a bit different. Like verse two, this would come off like, this would continue the conversation. Verse two is like, I've never seen the sky this color before. It's like I'm noticing everything a little bit more. Now that the dust has settled, I rebuttal my rebuttals. No one knows what it's like to be us. It's like, oh, okay. This is like, it's a very powerful way to begin the album because you don't know what's this going to lead on to. Because essentially, if you're bringing this topic so early into it, we could compare this. I don't want to compare it like in the mean way or anything. Just like from artist to artist, like to Beyonce's Lemonade.
Mm.
Just like the starting track and how like she just straight up off the bat, like you know where the energy is going off for the rest of the album. And this is how I felt the same way too. It's like, okay, this is the energy we're going. Then the next track is like Easy On Me, which is the single. And I didn't give it a lot of listens, but it's like, all right, so this is how she's going to lead it. Then next is the single. Get the single out early. Now it's the rest of the album.
Yeah.
Now it's the rest of the album. I think she's done that before too, but yeah.
Definitely. A lot of Adele's like singles though, it's like first track too. Like Rolling in the Deep, first track. Hello from the Other Side, I think, first track. But this one right here, Strangers by Nature, I thought that was a great beginning, and then Easy On Me. And then the track that really got me.
Passionate. I think this is the best song on the album.
It is the best song on the album, and I will not listen to this all the time, because I can't. My little love. Okay, yeah. Where Adele is talking to her son about what's going on currently between her and her husband, which is his father, why they're not together anymore. That's one that got me in the core easily.
Yeah. One thing I like about the song is one, the production is very cool. It's like really smooth, it does sound a little bit hip hop, a little bit, but a lot of soul as well.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite thing is the conversation she's having between her verses with her son, right? Yeah. It's like what he's saying. It's like it's his child too. And you're trying to explain it to a child. And her not indirectly explaining it too makes it even like another piece of music. Because mm-hmm. sometimes you don't want to be so straightforward where you're spilling it through, you know. So it's like, oh, this is nicely done because she's saying it, but not directly saying it either. It's in a way to dissect it. But the second verse is, I don't recognize myself in the coldness of the daylight. So I ain't surprised you can read through all my lies. And I feel so bad to be here when I'm so guilty. I'm so far gone. You're the only one that can save me. And, you know, just talking about, like, I'm so down right now, personally speaking, but I'm also a mother and I have to pay attention to my child.
Right.
And I'm putting all my emotion and focus on you right now.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I'm going through so much pain, I'm struggling right now, like, I do still appreciate you, and you're still my number one.
Bruh, I cried. I almost cried and on the L train, bruh. You're not supposed to cry on the L train.
I messaged you the first time I heard that song. I finally had space and time to actually listen to it. I got my nice speakers out. I haven't used it in a while. So, all right, I got to pull out the speakers for the big guns. Mm-hmm. And I heard that song. I was like, no way. The hook is just too beautiful, yeah. Man.
And then the conversation she was having with her, I'm like, dude. And then when she had her own little video log or like a writer's log where she was so vulnerable, she was like, oh, I've never felt so alone in my life, and she's crying. I'm like, bruh, I can't listen to this song anymore. It was that good, but so emotional.
Yeah. It's very interesting. I think one of my favorite things, you know what, this is like my first song, and I do listen to it like a lot. Just being straight up.
Really? You listen to this one a lot?
It's just the music, the instrumental, the lyrics, the emotion. I could see it very clearly.
Question.
This song, it's very clear to me.
Did you tell your girlfriend to just temporarily break up with you so you can feel this album?
No, I'm not that type of person.
Okay.
But I like to feel the music through the artist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't need to relate. Like, I personally don't care to relate to music. Okay. We can't relate to everything, especially if your life is like, you know, everybody's life is just different. But you will create your own type of emotion to it depending on like what was going on in your life. Like my emotional attachment to Kid Cudi's Man in the Moon is a lot different from a lot of people because I was in high school then. Like, you know, you're just conveying to your teenage emotion and angst. So that's what the album was. And it was kind of designed for that too. So that's just how I feel. So this album, I just like will love to listen to where Adele is going and what she's bringing musically. As you said before, she's an artist. She doesn't have to come out with music every year. She's too big for that. Sometimes you got to take a step back, live your life, and come back like, yo, I got these bars. Mm-hmm. And these bars are heavy.
Heavily, you know? Emotional.
Favorite thing, too, is like she made this like this year. It's not like every year she adds new songs like some artists like to do. It's like,
mm-hmm.
All right, time to make the new album. Start from scratch.
Yeah,
this is what I'm going to do.
You know, if we had the opportunity to interview Adele, I would want to ask, because now she's in a happy, loving relationship, is it painful for her to go back and like sing those songs because you were totally in a different place back then, and you had to conjure up all of those like just those sad and depressive feelings of being alone and all that stuff? Does it ever take any emotion out of you sometimes, any energy out of you singing those stuff?
Yeah. I would say, like, what song would you want to remix to, like, make a more... No, I mean a remix. Like, what song would you want to create a sequel for?
Mm.
But I think most of these songs could be sequels for other songs, too.
Yeah, I agree.
If you wanted to update it with, like, another verse, or, like, more up-to-date verse, what song would it be? One thing I liked about the album was the instrumental choices that she had going on. It wasn't every track that sounded the same. It was actually all over the place, but it sounded so well put together. Like Cry Your Heart Out, which is the next track. It kind of sounds like this like Jamaican type steely band, like steel beat.
Mm.
Very slow. The bass is slow as well. Probably not using like three strings. Cry Your Heart Out, and then, you know, it just expands to a much higher upbeat song, but she's still singing as well. So it's like she knows how to control the tempo of the album altogether. So starts off slow, gets a little bit faster, then ends up slow. Then even the last song becomes this huge orchestra thing.
Mm.
So it's very beautiful.
It is very beautiful, Bastion. There's one record that I was heavily looking forward to, mm-hmm. but then after listening to the song, it kind of did give like the Kendrick effect almost.
Which one?
I Drink Wine. Damn it! I'm assuming like this is it. Like get your red wine glasses. Let's sip some wine. But no. It's not about that at all, actually. It's about, it's more about how, you know, she wasn't able to control things anymore, and she wasn't able to, she kept thinking so hard about, you know, her life and trying to have control of everything. You know, she almost, and she sort of lost herself. You know, she said, you know,
I get over. Yeah.
Right. So, I used to have fun, but now I'm just here sulking and drinking wine. So basically this song's about, it's about, you know, masking the pain and masking the damn sorrows and crap. I'm assuming beforehand, this is going to be like a nice celebratory. We about to sip some wine. We about to, you know.
Well, would we compare this to Kendrick Lamar, swimming pools?
Definitely swimming pools, although I don't like swimming pools like that, but, you know.
What's the song in his second, in this maybe third album? To Pimp a Butterfly, where he's screaming. Is it I?
That's you.
You, that's you, right?
Yes.
So maybe that's, nah. It would, nah, never mind. Because that art, that part, he was drinking, but more like complaining. Not even complaining, just like venting.
Yes, it was definitely venting from like his friend's perspective.
So this song, would you call that, like, once you brought up Kendrick Lamar, that's the first song I thought about. Would this be more of a venting type song?
This is definitely more of a, it's definitely a venting song. It's definitely a self-reflective song as well. This is sort of, this is a song that says, hey, snap out of it, okay? Like, this isn't you. You used to do some fun stuff, but now you're just here becoming a damn wino, and you need to snap out of it.
Yeah, interesting.
Which kind of threw me off, damn it. I was ready to, like, this was going to be my song for this winter. Just sipping wine, we out here, you know, this on some new adulting things right here. This is what we do now as adults. We sip wine, damn it. I don't even want to sip the wine.
It's not like she was bragging anywhere throughout the album.
No, she wasn't. I thought at least this would be the one right here.
I think Lemonade had a couple tracks like that.
That is fair. Yeah,
right.
That is true.
It had, like, might have to bring it up so I can look at the tracks list. But I wanted to quickly go over the last song on the album. Not that I want to dissect it, but it would be really, really cool if she had, like, Danger Mouse on that track. Because it feels like it will be, like, perfect in order to bring this, like, orchestral, matching the tone of singing. It just fits really well. Almost like, who does it really well? I'm forgetting his name. John Legend. There you go. So almost like when you bring in the chords in and you're able to match the tempo of the chords that you're going through with the singing, and everything just flows together. That's what this track reminded me a lot. And I thought that was like the best way to end the album. Just like to go all out musically. So, like, what's your thoughts overall?
Top five album of 2022. And 2021, damn it. And I don't even do that.
It's funny because my first listen, I was like, all right, I kind of see, like, I have my favorite songs. Mm-hmm. But the more I listened to it, then I read that she got Spotify to remove the shuffle button.
Yes.
And then it's like, okay, because she says that, I trust, like, now I really want to listen to how she track listed the album. Because we had this whole conversation about Kanye and how he did it, and it's how, like, it's not a real, it's equivalent to like Drake's list thing. It's like you create your own and you have fun with it.
Somehow this is always going back to Ye.
Because we had this conversation earlier.
We legit did last week, people.
So I was like, all right, I have to really, really understand why certain songs come after the next. Mm-hmm. And when I listen to it over and over and over again, it's actually really smooth.
Yes, how it flows really well. And every track just goes so well into the next track.
So she definitely took her time. Like, these aren't all individual songs, but I think they were created and fixed up so they understood, so they knew where to place it, so it could end nicely. And then you can present the next song right after that. Mm-hmm. Because some songs, it's just like, hey, they made this song 8 months ago, and mm-hmm. they're throwing it as track five.
Right.
So for this one, it feels like they were making all these songs at the same time, putting it together, editing throughout the process and,
right.
and forward.
This was definitely well curated and crafted. And for that, Bastion, I'm here to say that Adele's 30. Easily, this is her best project, man. This is it. This is better than 21.
Yeah.
This is definitely better than 25.
I like to listen to 20. I only listened to 21 because that was my favorite album list growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to maybe listen to all those projects again one more, just to kind of see like my personal new experience and listen to those songs now, because I was just a kid back then. Didn't really connect to anything.
That's fair.
Because this is like very mature music. But yeah, 30 is definitely a high number. I give it like a very high 9. You know, and I think it could be like a perfect album the more I listen to it.
This is a damn 10 for me, damn it.
Yeah.
This is
I need a couple months before I get things to 10.
That's fair.
I don't remember the last album I gave like a pure 10. Maybe
To Pimp a Butterfly?
No. Definitely gave it to Frank Death Ocean's Grips? Blonde.
Oh, Blonde?
Like, those are like perfect 10s, both of those albums.
Okay.
And things, you know, become tense in the future, you know, like, you know, Live Love ASAP re-release. And I listened to it. It's like, yeah, this was a 10 back then. It's a 10 now. So just going back to old things. But yeah, we definitely recommend listening to this album if you haven't gotten the chance to.
Get a box of tissues. Get some wine. What else? Light up some candles.
You need some good headphones or some good speakers.
Or a bubble bath.
Do you still listen to music with the headphones I gave you?
I do, but I have not listened to the Adele one on those. I should.
Yeah.
I should give that a listen.
Yeah. It just hits a little different.
Oh, definitely will be hitting different.
So, you know, this is Thanksgiving. We want to end this episode with a very, very nice song. But to listen to our older episodes, check blacksample.com. We're also on all podcasts. We are on pretty much everywhere from Apple to Google. Just type in Black Space Seinfeld and you see the beautiful logo. Click on it. Listen to our older episodes. Feel free to like, comment, subscribe, do all the fun stuff. We have some big plans coming in the future. We also have our YouTube channel. Just go on YouTube, Black Seinfeld, and watch our new episodes, old episodes. We are going to start updating real soon. Just recently reset on my computer, so
yeah,
we should be good to go.
All right.
That being said, we'll be back next week.
Peace. Oh, shoot. It's going to be December, too. All right. Christmas time. All right. Peace. So,
what song are we going to let these people go out to?
We're going to go out to Daft Punk, Around the World. Take care, everyone. See you in December. We'll be right back.
November 8, 2021 is the notice date to propose Pacifica bylaws amendments. The proposed amendments may be found on the Foundation's website at www.pacifica.org for review. Votes by the Pacifica National Board and the various local station boards regarding said amendments will occur thereafter.
This is Phil Donahue.